Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in our reading today, we hear some of the last words of Moses to the children of Israel on the bank of the Jordan River just before they crossed over to the Promised Land. It must come as quite a shock for them to hear what would befall them. Moses tells them, "When you call to mind the blessing and the curse among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and if your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you." The children of Israel haven't even gotten to the Promised Land. Yet Moses is talking definitively about a time when they would be dispersed from there, just to be gathered again and to re-enter the Promised Land. Unfortunately, we don't have a news report of how the children of Israel took this. It must have come as a shock that the Promised Land that they were entering was not a permanent possession of theirs. Moses knew very well the intentions of the human heart. He was not a rabbinic Jew expecting to find both an inclination to good and an inclination to evil in the people before him. Before the flood, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every intention was only evil continually. Moses knew that. He had recorded it. Those intentions to evil continually would drive a wedge between the children of God, the children of Israel, and God. God would drive them out of the Promised Land. It was in whatever place they would find themselves that they were to recall to themselves the words of God. Those words of God are both blessing and curse, not one or the other. We need both to tell us who God is. Only heretics err in trying to limit God to a God who does nothing but bless. God is not a God of love, if by that you mean he only continually blesses and never curses. Luther understood that. In his explanation to the close of the commandments, Luther explains that God threatens to punish all who break these commandments, but he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep his commandments. God threatens to punish. He promises grace, curse, and blessing. And what did Moses ask the children of Israel to do? He didn't ask them to sit on the mourner's bench or to make a decision for Yahweh. Moses called on them to return to the Lord their God. The word that Moses uses here for return to God talks about turning away from something or turning toward something, although the emphasis is on turning toward God and returning to him. There is an understanding that there is also a turning away from something, turning away from the sin that separated the children of God from God himself. They would know the need to return to God when they heard, listened to, and obeyed the voice of God. Returning to God begins with hearing the voice of God. I know I've said it before, but it bears repeating. God is a Lutheran. He always works through means. It is through the voice of God, the word of God, that the children of Israel hear and understand the curse and blessing of God. Return to God and obey his voice. If I had to translate that into Greek and then into English, it would come out, repent and believe. Believe what God means, what he says in his curses. Believe that God indeed threatens to punish those who break the commandments. Know that you can't keep those commandments on your own. Turn to God as the only means and source for your salvation. When the children of Israel turn back to God and believe his word, taking it to heart, every other action belongs to God. God will restore your fortunes. God will gather you again. God will take you from the places where you have been dispersed. God will bring you into the land. God will make you prosperous. God will circumcise your heart. Actually, since I should be true to Moses, it is Yahweh, your God, who will do all these things. Yahweh, the God of the covenant, the God who called Israel to be his own. Yahweh, the God of the new covenant, who replaced the old covenant with the new covenant to show his love and mercy. And why does God do all this one-sided work? So that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. God calls, gathers, and enlightens the people so that, in order that they can love God in return and live. Since Moses doesn't end this sentence with the verb, but with the noun, we could also translate, in order that you may have life. There you have the gospel in a nutshell. God does all these things so that he can have a people who live in his kingdom, who have life, and love him as their father. Of course, a nutshell forces one to produce a very succinct statement. Behind that very succinct statement are all the sacrifices that God instituted through Moses for the atonement of sin, sacrifices that pointed forward to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Behind this statement is the Son of God who took all the curses upon himself so that God could bless his people. Behind this statement is a new covenant that would replace the old covenant. Our pericope today ends just before the last sentence of the paragraph with which I want to conclude. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in his book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. There you have the new life in Christ, or rather, new life in the coming Messiah. It is a new life that listens to the voice of God and actually keeps the commandments. It is a new creation that actually delights in doing what God commands and obeying what God desires. To summarize what Moses says, repent and believe, leave the hard work to God, then enjoy a new life in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.